Welcome to the Appropriations Subcommittee on Education, which will now come to order. Administrative Assistant, if you could please call the roll.
Madam Chair.
Here.
Senator Diaz.
Here.
Senator Baxley. Senator Book. Senator Flores. Senator Mumford.
Here.
Senator Pizzo. Senator Simmons.
Here.
Madam Chair, we don't have a quorum yet.
Okay, hold on just a moment. We thought we did, but someone must have stepped away. Just a moment. We lost one. Give us a moment. All right, everybody, let's try this again. Administrative Assistant, can you please call the roll?
Madam Chair.
I'm here.
Senator Diaz.
Here.
Senator Baxley. Senator Book. Senator Flores.
Here.
Senator Mumford.
Here.
Senator Pizzo. Senator Simmons.
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And members of the audience and on the committee, if you could please silence all electronic devices, and anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form. If you suggest to waive your speaking time, that will be reflected in the record. So we're going to go today on the discussion of the rest of the budget. You know, before you today is our Appropriations Subcommittee on Education's proposed budget for the fiscal year 2019 and 20. First, I want to thank President Galvano and Chair Bradley for their strong support of education in Florida. As you saw yesterday and you will see today, we have put a big priority on making sure that we are funding the state, the schools in the state. And it's just important, I want to thank each of you for your input over the past couple of months. After we finish our meeting today, we'll be prepared to forward our proposal to the full Appropriations Committee. You should have the following documents in your packet, which would be tab 1A, which is the presentation that summarizes the proposed budget and describes the major funding decisions. Tab 1B, which is a summary of the FEFP calculations, and Tab 1C, which is the detailed budget spreadsheet, Tab 1D, which is the K-12 project information, Tab 1E, which is the higher education project information, Tab 1F, which is the proviso language, and Tab 1G, which is the implementing bill summary, and Tab 1H, which is the college incentive fund calculations. Since we went over the proposed budget for public schools yesterday, my plan today is to briefly highlight a few of the proposed funding issues in the higher education portion of our budget. The presentation behind Tab 1A will be the basis for my comments. So starting with the district work education on slide 12, the proposed budget provides $6.5 million for CAPE incentive funds. This issue increases by $2 million, the incentive funds available for school district tech centers, for students who earn industry certifications in specific high-demand workforce areas. We have $6 million for funding model support, which provides additional operating funds to address funding inequities among district, career, and adult education centers. And for the Florida College System, on slide 13, the proposed budget provides $38 million increase in operating funds, which includes $15.5 million for compression, provides additional operating funds to colleges who are funded below the statewide average according to the college funding model. We have $22.5 million in general operating funds, which is nearly 2% increase in general operating funds to all colleges. We have $55 million in reward for student achievement and outcomes, which includes $15 million for CAPE incentive funds. This restores non-recurring funds, which is $10 million, and provides increased funding, another $5 million, to colleges for students who earn industry certifications in specific high-demand workforce areas. We have $28 million for the new 2+2 Student Success Incentive Fund. This issue rewards colleges for AA degree students who complete critical core courses, persistent across academic years, and graduate on time and transfer to bachelor degree programs. And we have $12 million for the new Work Florida Incentive Fund. This issue rewards colleges for workforce education students who graduate on time and obtain successful employment outcomes after graduation. And for student financial aid, the proposed budget funds workload increases for the Bright Future Scholarship Program, the Benequisto Scholarship Program, and the Children and Spouse of Deceased Disabled Veterans Program. In addition, the proposal provides an additional $10 million, which is a 4% increase, for our state needs-based aid program and the Florida Student Assistance Grant. For Florida universities and private colleges, the proposed budget provides an additional $80 million total for the university preeminence and emerging preeminence, and the proposed funds ease and able workload at the current per student award of $3,500 per student. So that concludes my highlights of the subcommittee's proposed budget for the 2019-2020. But before turning to questions, I'll highlight some of the implementing bill issues, which is under tab 1G, that are also included in either Senate Bill 7070 or in Senate Bill 190 that we'll be discussing in a few moments. So we have a creation of the new Community Schools Grant Program. We have a creation of the new Schools Turnaround Supplemental Service Allocation in the FEFP. We have a creation of the new Best and Brightest Teacher and Principal Allocation within the FEFP, and continuing with the funding compression allocation within the FEFP. These issues are included in the implementing bill to make sure our proposed budget is aligned with the law. So does anybody have any questions about the documents that were provided and the budget processes moving forward? Everyone is so quiet. Maybe it's because first thing in the morning. We do have one person who would like to speak about the budget bill, which is Marshall Ogletree with United Faculty of Florida. Mr. Ogletree, you're recognized.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. I'd like to take this opportunity to talk about a few issues very important to the United Faculty of Florida, and that includes faculty and graduate assistants that are part of our membership. We have unions at all 12 state university system institutions, 15 colleges now, four grad assistant chapters, and private St. Leo University. I want to talk, I know it's not in the budget, but I've talked to many of you on the panel about the need for grad assistance fee waivers and to eliminate the much of the price to work. Basically, grad assistants teach about 30% of our research institution undergrad courses. They do tremendous research, even at places like the Mag Lab, and yet they're paid poverty stipends. They do have their tuition waived, but they pay approximately $1,500 a person to work every year, and they need special permission to work a second job. That's one thing I'd like to see corrected, and I've talked to Chancellor Kreiser. He asked me, does our faculty support this? Yes, our faculty support this because these folks support our faculty. Also, I would suggest, as we look at performance funding, which we do support, some of the changes that may be offered, I know over in the House, about providing a more recurring source of revenues. We can't pay faculty with non-recurring dollars, and that's an excuse given often at the negotiations table. So improving performance funding, not eliminating it, is critical. I also want to commend you that you're not looking at the same process the House is looking at right now, and this is going to be a tremendous issue of debate in, I think, your conference committees over the budget and higher education. Last but not least, please don't penalize faculty for the misdeeds of some university administrators. That would be the wrong thing to do because they were not responsible for those issues. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Ogletree. We also have another individual who had asked to speak but didn't speak, designate whether it was a bill or the budget. It's a Steve point of view. Is he here in the audience? Or maybe or point of in, independent business owner. Okay, well, if he shows up and should like to speak, then we can fill in another card. Okay, so since there were no questions, we're done with the speaker cards. Senator Simmons moves to allow the staff to make technical corrections and adjustments. So without objection, we'll show that motion adopted. And Senator Diaz moves to accept the subcommittee's proposal for appropriation subcommittee on education budget, proviso language, and implementing bill provisions, and to forward our budget recommendations to the full appropriations. So without objection, that motion is adopted. Again, are there any final questions or any questions on the budget? Anything up to this point? Okay. Next, we're going to move to tab two, which is SB 190 on education by myself. So I will turn the chair over to Senator Diaz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tab two, SB 190, Senator Storgill, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. SB 190 makes various changes to education-related statutes. The bill modifies the Bright Futures Scholarship Program. It codifies into law policies related to the Florida Education Finance Program that were passed during the 2018 legislative session and removes statutory restrictions for performance funding related to industry certifications. Related to Bright Futures, the bill maintains the current year policy of allowing students who participate in University of Florida's Innovation Academy to receive Bright Futures funding for all three terms of the academic year, fall, spring, and summer, and it recognizes throughout statute that there are four Bright Futures scholarship programs and lists the Florida Gold Seal Cape scholarship where appropriate. Provides additional flexibility for students to complete their program of study with 100% of credit hours funded and within the current five-year statutory scholarship length. Specifically, it removes the initial two-year period requirement for students to begin receiving the award so that students who take a gap period after high school can still assess their scholarship. And it removes the maximum 45 credit hour per year funding restriction so Bright Future students can be funded for all hours enrolled each year. And it specifies that all high school graduates, including those who graduate from private Florida high school, may participate in the scholarship program. Related to the FEFP, the bill revises the safe school allocation formula to better reflect current funding policy and school security staffing needs, places the funding compression allocation in current law, and it removes the proration requirement within the federally connected student supplement. Lastly, related to the industry certification performance funding, the bill removes the $15 million appropriation cap. Also establishes that the required test scores may not fall below the stated percentiles for the SAT in order to maintain high academic eligibility standards and concordance with the ACT. And that is the bill.
Any questions on the bill? Senator Flores, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm so sorry that I did not come and talk to you about this before, but I wanted to ask about the proposed changes to the scores for the Bright Futures and if there are any concerns about what impact that might have on certain students.
Recognized.
Absolutely, and that question was actually came up in the previous committee as well. We are basically moving the Bright Futures to the levels that was originally intended in law, which is in the 89th percentile and the 75th percentile. In Florida, we have continuously closed that gap between our students' populations. There may be potentially some impact to some students, but as we continue to do what we've been doing in the education model, my goal is that we would have parity across all and that all of our students would be achieving equally. So it shouldn't long-term have that kind of effect.
Any further questions? Seeing no questions, we have
good question.
Senator Pizzo, you're recognized.
Chair Sturgill, I also apologize for not bringing this to you earlier. Just a quick question as it relates to the funding compression allocation in Section 17. Just curious if there's some provision or if there's any ability to areas that may have
Senator Pizzo, is this on the bill? We're on SB 190.
Yes, it is.
Okay, making sure.
Section 17, lines 675, basically through 710, as it relates to the compression allocation. But thank you for making me think it wasn't Senator. Any provision or amenability to those areas that serve populations with greater disabilities, English language learners that we have in our district, or operate in higher cost areas. Is there some wiggle room? Is there some appreciation of that issue?
And you're recognized for back and forth.
Thank you. What the compression did was trying to bring together students that were for areas that were funded under the average. For those higher population areas, typically, they have higher values, those types of other benefits that some of these other areas don't have, which kind of equals out our formula at the end of the day.
Any further questions? Okay, we do have three appearance cards. John Sarah from the Flagler County Public Schools waves in support. Thank you. Marion Masek from Florida Development Disability Council waves in support. Thank you. And Charisse Fleming Togan from the Florida Developmental Disabilities Council also waves in support. Thank you very much. That does it for appearance cards. Any debate on the bill? Senator Flores, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Madam Chair, for bringing this bill. There are much needed changes. I just have a concern on the issue of bright futures, of what's the real world impact to some of the academic changes that we make. And I completely understand and agree that bright futures should be for our brightest students. I absolutely agree with that. Unfortunately, we've seen that some of the changes over the years have seen that there's a disproportionate effect on students of certain demographic and socioeconomic backgrounds, which is obviously not our intent and is obviously not what we want to do, but you can't ignore that fact. And so I would ask, and I know that you will, but as we move forward, to try and look and get data of what is going to be the real impact for this and what, if anything, we can do in this legislative session, policy or funding wise, to make sure that any impact felt specifically for those from lower socioeconomic statuses, those who arguably would need this scholarship the most, that is there something that we can do to ensure that they can continue to be eligible and not be negatively impacted.
Thank you. Further debate? Senator Baxley in debate.
Thank you. I rise in support of this bill. I think that for a while we did get off track of seeing bright futures for what it is, and that is, it's not a need-based scholarship, but it does meet the needs of need-based people because it's something they can strive to earn by performance and be rewarded for their performance. So I think it's a great equalizer in that regard. It's whoever can do this work, demonstrate the work, be ready for college, that they're going to get a reward for and some help with college because of that effort. And there's been many attempts to try to equalize the impact on everybody, and that's noble, and we don't want to negatively impact anybody. We want it to be something that everybody has available. But I certainly appreciate the integrity of keeping it as something that's an equalizer. It's available to everyone. If you work hard, commit yourself, you're going to have some help. And then, of course, we've significantly renewed the funding, which for a while in the hard times we could not be as effective with. So thank you for keeping that on track. That's hard to do when we also, and we do have other programs for strictly need-based, whatever their performance level. But I love the integrity that this is something that really a student earns, because many of our students, we have the view that families pick up and pay all the college bills. And in my house, my My dad's money was his money, and now you live in America, and you've got a great opportunity. Go get it. And they were always back there. But many, many students are on their own that come up with a way to fund their college education. And this is, I think, been a great incentive tool, as well as being a way that we could make sure that a lot of talent also got the training that they needed. So thank you for those improvements that you've made in our programs this year, and I support the bill.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, Senator Stardew recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Flores, I am cognizant of that, and I am, and we have, as you know, through the years in policy we've done, have continued to close the gap. In fact, Florida leads the nation in having continuous improvement in our students who are of minority versus non-minority. In addition, we've actually, when we raised the scores a few years ago, the number of students, there's some studies that have shown that the number of students who were ineligible to get the scholarship basically stayed in proportion to the students who were. So there wasn't an overall penalty to one race over another. But again, we will continue to monitor that as we move forward. But the goal of this, with regards to the Bright Futures, is to make it something that can be sustainable and to let our students who are at those higher levels have a full scholarship, which is what we've done the last few years, that fully funds, as you may know as a student, if it, even just a couple $100 difference from a full scholarship or not can make the difference of whether or not you can attend that college or whether or not you can, whether or not you cannot. So our goal is to make sure that those students who have worked hard and achieved the best have those opportunities. And then also in addition to some of the things we've done with regards to summer opportunities as well. So I think this is a good bill. I think it moves us in the right direction, and it continues to give students opportunities to go to college who may not have had it otherwise. So I ask for your support for the bill.
Thank you. Senator Stardew, having closed on the bill, the administrative assistant, please call the roll on SB 190.
Senator Baxley?
Yes.
Senator Book? Senator Flores? Senator Mumford?
Yes.
Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Simmons?
Yes.
Senator Stardew? Mr. Chairman.
Yes. And by your vote, show SB 190 is reported favorably, and I am gladly give the gavel back to Chair Stardew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is there any other business before this committee? I don't think anyone missed any votes. So with that, I think our business for this morning is done, and Senator Baxley moves that we adjourn, and without objection, show us adjourned.